නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Actually last Wednesday we started this new sutta it is the 149th sutta of Majjhima Nikaya Mahasalayatanika sutta the great sixfold sense-based discourse. So basically Buddha give a detailed exposition about the six senses and what happen if we are not guarding them, what happen if we are not mindful about their activities. And similarly, what happens if we are guarding them, if we are properly behaving, restraining, being mindful about them, then what is the advantage? So basically, so that is what the theme of this sutta. The first half actually talks about the negative side, that is where a monk or whoever does not know properly about each sense base. So you know that there are six sense bases, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, and the corresponding outside sense objects are there, that is forms, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensations or tangibles, and the mind objects. So they are corresponding to each other, they are very much interacting each other, and as a result of that the corresponding what do you call this corresponding consciousness for eye and the form, then eye consciousness, ear and sound, ear consciousness, like that the corresponding consciousness also arise, and then when it happens again and again, so then we get the notion of the contact, eye form, eye consciousness together, we when happens again and again we get the contact. As a result of the contact, that's the eye contact, there arise the feeling. The feeling can be either pleasurable feeling, painful feeling, or equanimous feeling. Now, and Buddha here mentioned, when one does not know, when one does not know and does not see. So chakkum bhikkave ajanam apassam yatha bhutam. So one doesn't know about this activity. This instantaneous seeing activity happens at the eye properly, and he is ignorant about it, and he is not mindful about it. He doesn't understand how things are happening, so he doesn't know and see this process. Similarly to the form, similar to the eye consciousness, similar to the eye contact, and then the feeling. So all these links, one doesn't have any idea how they are happening. Rather, one may be interpreting them as, I am seeing, I am here, you are there, I am beautiful, you are beautiful. So likewise, so we interpret the whole experience with respect to a person, with respect to an individual, and as a result of that we start thinking, and ultimately we start overthinking, and ultimately we are trapped in conceptual proliferation. So completely ignorant about the whole process. So this is what typically happens when we are unmindful and allowing the mind to behave as it like. There is no sense restraint. And so that is what we already discussed last week. And so there Buddha mentioned certain consequences of that process. So there Buddha mentioned what happen if one is not guarding and not understanding this whole process. So Buddha mentioned chakkusmin sarajjati rupesu sarajjati chakku vinyane sarajjati chakku sampasse sarajjati yam pidang chakku sampassa paccha uppajjati veditam sukham va dukkham sukham va tasmin pi sarajjati. So sarajjati means you are attached to that, you are inclined towards that, you are adhere to that. You are basically in it. completely grasping. And the lust is also arising, anger also arising. So likewise, depending on the situation, you either in any of the both extremes, either good side or the bad side, and you love that or you hate that. Now, when such happens, then Buddha further explained, sattassa sarattassa samyuttassa sammohanassa assadanu passino viharato ayatim panchupadana kanda upachayam gacchanti. Now, when you are attached, when you are grasping, that is why we call them as aggregates of grasping or clinging. And when you are doing such kind of a grasping, then the different aggregates are getting involved and we are grasping either one or many of them. So as a result of that, those tendencies are developing and we are creating karma so that we may even get future five clinging aggregates. Upachayam gacchanti. So that means we are accumulating them. We are gathering them. Tanha chasa pono bhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra tatra abhinandini sa chasa pavaddanti pavaddati. So tanha, the craving, also develops, also further develops, and because then and there, here and there, we start clinging, we start adhering, we start entertaining, we start getting delighted. So as a result of that, tanha, craving, desire start growing. Tassa kayakapi daratha pavaddanti. So likewise Buddha mentioned, as a result of this whole process, now the body loses its balance. So body assumed that it had kind of a balance, it had kind of a composed behavior, but now it loses that behavior, rather it get agitated, become sort of hateful, mind also start burning, the body also start burning, then the and kind of fevers, bodily fevers, mental fevers increase. And further Buddha mentioned, you are going through bodily and mental suffering. Now this is what Buddha mentioned with respect to the eye, the faculty eye, and the corresponding form and the corresponding other results. The same explanation is given for ear sound, and then nose, odors, then tongue and taste, and body and tactile sensations, and then mind and mind objects. So we need to understand, so one sense object is explained, similar thing happens at other sense objects as well. Now Buddha, actually this already we discussed last time. Now suppose we are to discuss the next part, that is where Buddha explains about the good side. That is when one knows, because when one knows and sees the eye as it actually is, when one knows and sees forms as it as they actually are, when one knows and sees eye consciousness as it actually is, when one knows and sees eye contact as it actually is, when one knows and sees as it actually is, the feeling felt as pleasant or painful or neither painful nor pleasant that arises with eye contact as condition. Now here one is mindful, basically. Mindfulness is available. So as a result of that, one is in guard of this whole thing, on guard of all this. And as a result of that, one can understand what's really going on. Immediately when a sense contact happens, so one can recognize that, be aware of that, and no need to cling to that, because one understands it is simply arising and passing away, or various other results are happening. Say a pleasant feeling may happen, but pleasant feeling is not mine. Pleasant feeling is a pleasant feeling which is subjected to the contact. As a result of the corresponding contact, the pleasant feeling has arisen. So likewise, one may be able to understand the whole process, and that means one knows about it. One sees about it. It is not through a book, rather at that very moment when it is happening, one is fully aware of what is happening. So each and every faculty, we can use the same situation. So here again we are talking about the eye. So when eye sees a particular form, so that whole process one can understand. So So here if we go to chakkunko bhikkave janang passang yathabhutam. Rupe janang passang yathabhutam. Chakku vinyanang janang passang yathabhutam. Chakku sampassang janang passang yathabhutam. Yampidang chakku sampassa paccaya uppajjati vedayitam sukhang va dukkhang va dukkham sukhang va tampi janang passang yathabhutam. So here the result is further mentioned Buddha. Chakkusming na sarajjati. Previously what we experienced was sarajjati. Now here negation is there. Na sarajjati. So one understand, okay, this is kind of a process. This is kind of a causal process. So there is no need to hold it. There is no need to grasp it. Because it is very transient. It come and go. It appears and then disappears. So as a result of that, mind starts not grasping. Mind may see the whole process, but no inclination towards that process. There is no adherence to that process. Mind doesn't grasp that process because one has seized that the way it is. The true reality one has seen, understood. As a result of that, now the mind is not interested of grasping it. Now as a result of that, what happens? So the result is tassa asarattassa asanyuttassa asammulhassa adinavanupassino viharato. Now one's behavior or how one behave according when things are happening is completely different. It doesn't mean that one can't see. One may see things, but mind is not involved. Mind is not agitated. Mind is not bound to. And probably one can even see the danger or various disadvantages if one going to cling to this process. So as a result of that, Buddha mentioned, so the one is not inflamed by lust for the eye. For forms, for eye consciousness, for eye contact and the feeling. When one abides uninflamed by lust, unfettered, uninfatuated, contemplating danger. Now, inflamed. So you are not agitated. You simply have seen, but your mind is not disturbed. Suppose that you are a meditator and you are capable of developing a fair amount of insight. As a result of that, time to time, you are experiencing an ungrasping state of mind, unassociated state of mind. Suppose at that time, suppose you do a walking meditation and you are walking, your foot may be touching the ground and your eyes can see various forms, your ear can hear various sounds, and even maybe a kind of a good fragrance also may be coming from the surrounding and you can smell that as well. But the point is, your mind is not disturbed. Your mind is not interested of getting involved in any of these. Rather, mind likes to stay secluded. Mind likes to maintain its stability. Mind likes to maintain its clarity rather than getting involved with any of these sense interactions. So that is the kind of the beauty of the practice or the result of the practice. So now it is not that you are forcefully restraining the mind. Rather, the mind itself is capable of maintaining its clarity or its integrity or its seclusion or its uninvolved nature. So some of you definitely have experienced this. So you are walking maybe through the woods and you can hear, you can see, you can smell, you can sense, everything is happening, but mind is quite calm. No inner agitation, no inner kind of boiling or burning. Internally you are very much experiencing kind of an equipoise. So now Buddha further mentioned, if one is continuing like that, the five aggregates affected by clinging are diminished for oneself in the future. Tassa asarattassa asanyuttassa asammulhassa adinavanupassino viharato ayatin panchupadana kanda apachayangacchanti. Now previously what had was the upachayangacchanti, that means increasing, accumulating, but now they are sort of decreasing. And now they are very much like dismantling. So you are very much like scattering the five aggregates. You are not accumulating them. You are dispersing them. So this is a very interesting situation where Buddha again explained in the Kajjaniya Sutta, if you can remember. So there also Buddha mentioned this apachayangacchanti. So where the five aggregates are scattered, dismantled. So they are now going away. You are not grasping any of these. Suppose that you have seen something beautiful, but if the mind is not grasping them, so the we can't say it's a we are attached to the form aggregate. We are grasping the form aggregate. Other aggregates are there, but mind is not grasping them. So the grasping process has stopped. Aggregates are operating, but they are merely aggregates. They are not grasping aggregates. They are not clinging aggregates. They are merely aggregates. So interesting point is now we are changing the trend in the mind. Previously the trend was grasping. If something is beautiful, we immediately go and grasp. Immediately mind is interested. Immediately mind get inclined towards that. Immediately mind start thinking about it, proliferating about it. But now, even though I have seen it, mind is not disturbed. Mind retains its clarity. Mind retains its, say, the stability, calmness, serenity. Everything is intact. Now, as a result of that, what happens? Tanha chasya ponobhavika nandiraga sahagata tatra daddabhi nandini sa chasya pahiyati. Now instead of pavaddati, now it is pahiyati. So it is, now you are abandoning the lust, greed. Now the craving, now you are abandoning. Craving is the one causing for you a renewal of the, a kind of a new birth or renewal of the new state, renewal of a new existence, renewal of a new bhava state. Now it doesn't happen because grasping is not present. Grasping is not available. Grasping is a must in order to have a new state, new mental state or mind-made state. Now that is not available because grasping hasn't happened. And as a result of that, now slowly the craving, grasping is reducing. And tassa kaikapi darata pahiyanti. Chetasikapi darata pahiyanti. Now internally now there is no agitation, and that agitation is slowly abandoned. The bodily and mental troubles are abandoned. And similarly, kaikapi santapa pahiyanti. The bodily burning, a kind of a torment is abandoned. Mental burning, mental tormenting also abandoned. Kaikapi parilaha pahiyanti. Sorry. The bodily fevers are also abandoned. Mental fevers are also abandoned. So kaya sukhampi cheto sukhampi patisangvedi. Now the opposite happens. Now rather you are maintaining a very kind of well-being, the mental well-being as well as bodily well-being. One experiences bodily and mental pleasure. So there is no boiling, there is no burning, there is no fever. And there is kind of clarity. So there is unattached, uninvolved, lighter feeling in the mind. Now this is very beautifully explained in the Malunke Putta Sutta also. So I have extracted that part. So it's also explained the same thing, but in a poetic way. Malunke Putta Sutta available in the Sangyutta Nikaya. So when Buddha explains the necessary, say, the restraint and the mindfulness practice to Venerable Malunke Putta, He was so satisfied about the Buddha's teaching, and he immediately explains what he understood in a poetic way. So he mentioned, Naso rajyati rupesu rupan disva patissato viratta citto vedeti tancha najjo saya tittati. So Venerable Valankiputta explains, Naso rajyati rupesu. So rupan disva patissato. Now this word patissato, that means he is completely mindful. Patissato, he is completely, firmly mindful. As a result of that, even though he see a form, he is not rajyati, he is not involved, he is not inflamed by lust for forms. Because he is now guarding, mindfulness is established. And viratta citto vedeti, and one experiences it with dispassionate mind. Tancha najjo saya tittati, as a result of that, so, and you are not holding it tightly, and you are not adherent to it, and you retain the stability of the mind. Then further he explains, yathasa passato rupam sevato chapi vedanam kiyati no pachiyati evang so charati sato evang so charati sato. Now this is a practice, basically evang so charati sato. That means you are living mindfully in a way so that if there is kind of a feeling arisen in the mind, it may start fading away. Now say for example, you have seen a beautiful sight. As a result of that, internally kind of a pleasure arisen. And you are mindful about it. Now you are not getting involved about it, you are not grasping it, you are not promoting it. You simply see how this pleasant sensation or pleasant feeling arising, and it remains for a while and it then fades away. Because you are not involved, you are not interfering in the process, you are not adding to the process, you are not fabricating to the process. Rather you simply see, that's all. Yathasa passato rupam sevato chapi vedanam kiyati no pachiyati evanso charati sato. One fares mindfully in such a way that even as one sees the form, and while one undergoes a feeling, suffering is exhausted, not built up. Evang apachinato dukkham santike nibbanam ucchati. Now the result is you are getting closer to the nibbana. Now here don't think that the nibbana is a kind of a place that we are now reaching that place. Rather, internally you are more and more calm, you are more and more tranquil, no inner burning. More and more your mind tends to be relaxed, internally kind of quenched, no internal agitation. So you are more tend towards Nibbana, calmness, relaxation, tranquility. So that is very beautifully mentioned in this Malunkiputta Sutta as well. And as I said, the same process Buddha explained similarly for other sense bases, that means ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, in this Mahasalayatanika Sutta. Similarly in the Malunkiputta Sutta also, the same thing is mentioned for other sense bases as well. That means how one live mindfully when ear contacts with sounds, how one live mindfully when nose get in touch with the smells, then tongue with the taste, body with the tangibles, and mind with mind objects. So all these things are explained in detail. So I think you all are capable of understanding the thing when we are discussing just one sense base, but the same thing is true for the others as well. Now, so I thought of sharing another very interesting part here. So that is available in Adimutta Theragatha. സോ ഇൻ അതിമുത്ത് തേരഗാഥ വെൻബൽ അതിമുത്ത് ഹീസ് എൻ അർഹന്ത് ഇറ്റ്സ് എ വെരി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് സ്റ്റോറി സോ ഹീസ് എൻ അർഹന്ത് സോ ലെറ്റ് മീ സി വിത്ത് Yeah, no problem. We do that first. Yeah. So in Adimutta Theragatha, this what happened was this Venerable Adimutta. So he's not a old monk. He's a young monk, but he's an Arahant. Now, unfortunately, he get caught to bandits, and now they are going to kill him. But interesting point is Venerable Adimutta is not feared, or he is not afraid. Now it's a kind of a question for the bandits. So they have a lot of experiences in catching others, hurting others, harming others, killing others. And when they are going to do that, others are crying, screaming, trying to escape. All things are there. But when they catch, when they caught Venerable Adimutta, so he maintains quite quietly. He is not disturbed. He is not trying to escape, and he is not crying, he is not screaming. Now they are going to kill him, but he is not screaming, he is not afraid. Now it's a question for these bandits. So now they are asking what's going on. That's interesting. So what's going on? So the Gamini is the term referred for the village chief. So we are calling him a village chief. Anyway, translated as village chief. Now here it is actually the chief of the bandits. Now he is now addressing that village chief, the bandit chief. Natti chetasikam dukkham anapekkassa gamini atikkanta bhaya sabbe kina sanyojanassave. Now you can remember that Buddha mentioned in the Mahasalayatinika Sutta also, natti chetasikam dukkham. So similarly, like that, chetasikapi santapa pahiyanti, chetasikapi parilaha pahiyanti, chetasikampi cheto sukhampi parisangvedit. So likewise, the mental suffering is not available, mental burning is not available, inner burning is not available. So here again, same thing is highlighted. Natti chetasikam dukkham, there isn't any mental suffering for one without expectations, and all fears are left behind. Why? By one whose fetters are ended. All the fetters are ended, all sanyojana are very much like ended, faded away. Now as a result of that, there is no any further expectations in the mind, no desires in the mind, no plans in the mind, and as a result of that, there is no inner suffering. There is no inner in any mental suffering. And further, now a very, very, very interesting point here, how an arahant may feel about himself. Name hoti ahosinti bhavissanti nohoti me sankhara vibhavissanti tatta ka paridevana. Now why an arahant remains calm? Why an arahant is not afraid? Because he has a very strong understanding that there is no self here, and he doesn't have any feeling that I lived in the past, and again there is no feeling that I am going to live in the future. So there is no I. The sense of I is no more with the Arahant. Now if you can remember, we have discussed several occasions the sense of I, either the Sakkayaditti form or either Asmimana form. The Sakkayaditti form, we grasp something, any of the aggregates or some of them, and we feel the sense of I. We feel strong individuality. We feel a personality. Then we are attached to that. We are bound to that. And we are restricted by that. And if someone is going to attack, then we are so afraid because I am going to die. I am being attacked, so I am afraid. So I am available, I available, sense of I available. Now, as a result of that, we are afraid. But the opposite is happening with an Arahant. So he completely understood that there is no I, there is no person, there is no individual here. Things are happening due to causes and conditions. So he is fully aware of that whole process. He fully understood that whole process. Now that is being highlighted here. When he has that understanding, now he don't feel that he hasn't lived in the past, or I have lived in the past. I am going to live in the future. That personality view abandoned. Asmimana, the conceit I am, is abandoned. Now as a result of that, he doesn't have any feeling that I lived in the past or I am going to live in the future. What is available are merely sankharas, merely formations. It doesn't occur to me I had past lives, nor does it occur to me I will have future lives. All conditions will disappear. Why lament for that? Now what is available are merely conditions, merely phenomena. Conditioned phenomena. And they were existed in the past. They are existing right now. And they will exist in the future. That's all. There is no I in the whole process. There is no individual in the whole process. Just mere conditions are happening, operating. Name honti ahosinti bhavissanti nahotimi sankhara vibhavissanti tattaka paridevana. So sankhara, the formations are now arising and passing away, and they are the ones going to be destroyed. And why am I going to cry for that? Tattaka paridevana. For why I am going to lament on that? Sankhara, the phenomena, are merely going to disappear. That's all. So the next verse further explains the same thing. Suddham dhamma samuppadam, suddham sankhara santatim, passantasa yatha bhutam, na bhayam hoti gamani. Now here you can see this little phrase, passantasya yatha bhutam. So one has seen the things as they truly are. As here in our sutta, the present sutta, Maha Salayatanika sutta, Buddha again and again mentioned, Chakkuñcako bhikkhave jānaṁ passaṁ yathā bhūtaṁ, rūpe jānaṁ passaṁ yathā bhūtaṁ, chakku viññānaṁ jānaṁ passaṁ yathā bhūtaṁ. So jānaṁ passaṁ yathā bhūtaṁ. One has seen properly, one has understood properly. So that is highlighted in this Mahasalayatanika Sutta. So same thing is highlighted here, passaṁ tasya yathā bhūtaṁ. So one has seen the reality. If one has seen the reality properly, na bhayam hoti gamini, there is no fear for one. And he see suddham dhamma samuppadam, the kind of mere sankharas, mere phenomena are arising, and they are the ones passing away. And it is a mere continuation of these sankharas, mere continuation of conditioned phenomena. That's it. And further, now how the view in him about the world, the view in him about the world is now quite different. Now he see it differently. Tina katta samang lokam yada panyaya passati mamattam so asang vindang natti me ti na sochati. Now he see the whole world like empty. There is no essence. There is nothing substantial. So it is very much like grass and wood. There is nothing worthy. Yada panyaya pasati, and he see through the wisdom with his proper understanding. Mamattam so asangvindan. Now as a result of that, he doesn't anything as himself or anything as mine. He doesn't have anything basically. There is no I, there is no sense of I. And he doesn't possess anything. He doesn't have that sense of possession. But interesting point is, even though he has nothing, there is no I, and there is no any kind of a sorrow, worry, thinking that I am no more, thinking that there is no I. Natimeti na sochati, thinking it isn't mine, one doesn't grieve, one doesn't have any sorrow. Now this is a very interesting way that how Venerable Adimutta explains his state of mind, his Arahant state of mind to this bandit, and it's very kind of amazing how he's explaining his situation to those bandits. Now, actually, I think that is enough for today, because then we need to go to a separate section. That would be a little deviating from the present thing. And so basically we need to understand, if one properly understood things, if one has the correct understanding, so then five aggregates are not accumulating. Rather, you are dispersing them, you are scattering them. And as a result of that, the tanha, the craving, is slowly abandoning, slowly decreasing. And bodily and mental troubles are abandoned. Bodily and mental torments are abandoned. Bodily and mental fevers are abandoned. And you are experiencing bodily calmness, mental calmness. Kind of a equipoise is something that you are experiencing. Now basically, when we say so probably you might understand, okay, I am not experiencing that much of calmness. I am not experiencing that much of relaxation. Because still we are time to time burning. Still we are not completely free from defilements. So time to time certain defilements are arising in the mind, and they torment us, they burn us, they burn the mind. As a result of that, bodily burning also happens. So, but anyway, as a practitioner, you may experience sometimes kind of a relaxation, sometimes kind of a calmness. So that is what actually we need to further improve. So we can't have complete calmness, complete relaxation, complete, say, tranquility immediately. Rather, time to time one may experience that. So when your insights are properly drawn, they have come to a certain maturity, you may be experiencing that, but it's a matter of continuation. How am I going to continue this non-grasping state of mind? How am I going to experience this, say, clear state of mind, an entangled state of mind? So typically what happens is mind go and entangle with things. When you see something, you go and interested about it and you start thinking about it. Now basically mind has lost its integrity and mind is entangled about it. Now if you are able to maintain integrity, if you are able to maintain the clarity, uninvolved nature of the mind, so that's all. I mean, basically, that is what we need to do again and again. And it is not merely at the sitting session you need to do it. Sitting session may be the place that you are very much like sharpening the faculties. But you need to be mindful at walking as well. Now you need to have a kind of a cleansed mind, clear mind, uninvolved mind, unentangled mind, non-grasping mind at the walking path as well. And now you need to further expand it to other activities. Say, how about doing it while eating? How about doing it while teaching? How about doing it while listening? How about doing it while talking to another person? Having a kind of a conversation. So all these are kind of a way of living. So ultimately, the whole practice has to become way of living. You are learning, you are practicing, and slowly you are internalizing the whole thing, and ultimately you start living according to that, and the teaching and yourself is very much integrated. It has become one, and you are practicing and you are representing the Dhamma. And there is no separate Dhamma, rather you yourself have become Dhamma. Something like that. So even though we start the practice as separate individuals, slowly what happens is that individuality, the personality view, is slowly abandoned, and ultimately this, as Adimutta Thera mentioned, so basically the sankharas are happening, that's all, the various phenomena, conditioned phenomena are happening, that's all, there is no any other sort of person involved, an individual involved. As a result of that, there is no fear and you are not afraid. So with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
For those who'd like to participate in the Q&A, you may ask your questions by raising your hand or sending them via the chat.
Do you have any question?
Oh, wait, don't say no.
No, okay, yeah. Yeah. We here from this side, there is no question.
Oh, no question? Okay. Then I'd like to invite Mahisha for a question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Dear Bhante.
Yep.
Very useful session we had today. Thank you for that. And I actually like to make a statement about that, what you have just explained to us. I understand the fact that not only during the sitting or walking meditation that we have to actually keep the mind within our like kind of boundary, would say. That's how I think. So thinking about the like impermanency, and also, you know, not grasping and not, you know, running around with what we have, what we are seeing through our eyes or hearing from ears or whatever. And even though mind tries to run around, then we have to be mindful and get it back to us. So, yeah, that's a good thing. That's what we're practicing. That's what we were asked to do by Buddha. When it comes to, you know, when we are living day to day, what I felt personally, trying to, you know, bring back the mind to us, anyway, start trying to running around through the mindfulness. But when we come to work life, in my case, I had to teach students about business studies. So businesses running because of the craving of humans and probably, I would say, all the living beings crave for things. So that's how the business world runs. So as Lokohamdu always says, the women runs the world or whatever she says, he says. I quite 100% agree with that. Because I felt it, I experienced that, and I actually studied what the root cause of certain people behaving in a certain way. For example, if someone murdering someone, if we try to figure out the root cause of it, ultimately it's because of drinking or kind of a culture or a habitual problem, or women or whatever. It comes to the root of, as Muhammad was saying, that's the root. I actually found it through my research on this path. What I'm trying to actually say here is what I experience when I'm teaching. So with the mindset of my practice, when I go to a class and start teaching, because I used to refer my notes before I go, and I have to actually think of practical my examples professionally to tell to students how particular situation needs to be handled. And so always the practically we have to explain to students, otherwise theoretically we tell everything in the books but it doesn't mean to them anything, so we have to give the practical side.
Mm-hmm.
To give that, then I have to actually relate the stories in the past.
Mm.
Whenever I think about the past, stories in the sense my practical experience in the situations, how I deal with them. So then quickly my mind runs and say, oh, come on, stop that. Because you're getting into this, you're getting into that. And my mindfulness comes forward. and try to stop me. And then I had to again revert very forcefully, no, come on, you're doing your job, you're teaching now, you have to continue with this example.
Mm-hmm.
Relate the story. So then actually there is a kind of an interval comes, like I little bit forgetting what I tried to say.
Mm-hmm.
To complete that whole situation. So a couple of times it happens, and then I thought, will I be labeled as a, because at the end of the day the students have a rating to do, like the teaching of a particular person, that's the administration workers, they do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Assessing the students,
yeah,
give a questionnaire to students, so say what were the, you know, so I get scared, oh my goodness, now these students will say, you know, I got stuck with the examples and I'm not competent enough for this. Then I come back home and I thought about this. I'm juggling with two balls in hand. You know, I want to go in the path, I want to do the job, I want to be a good teacher to the students. And I know business world is so crazy and I quite don't like it now, although it's my job to teach them to do the businesses.
Mm.
In a particular methods, then how to understand people crave and all those things. Then finally I told myself, come on, yes. Now I listened to talks of you and then the Lukohamadro, and then I got a solution for myself. Okay, have two worlds. So you go in the path, yes. So you switch on when you're doing that. When you're in work life, switch on that switch and then go in the way that the world goes. Because otherwise, because that's the job that I was doing throughout my life, and I'm thinking of changing the job, and I actually tried it, and I tried changing my profession, but I think it didn't work. I was kind of a bit frustrated. I wanted to go for community service and help, like, poor and disabled and, you know, people who need more services than the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried it for a year, and I feel like I'm actually getting depressed when I see those people and struggling, and because I haven't used to that job. When I get like looking at people's issues, I actually put myself down a lot. So it's very disturbing to my practice again, you know, why this happening. Then I'm going on the wrong track, right? Try to evaluate why people are born with, you know, incapabilities when some people are having all the capabilities. But that's a different part, and I thought, no, Buddha didn't ask us to, you know, explore why people are doing this and that. And actually, we were taught and we experienced that because that's through their karma and what they have done in the past and all sorts of things. So I don't want to explore on that side because I'm not going to be a Buddha, you know, to do that. That is not my path, right? So then I figured out, no, I will stay in my profession, but I will. When I'm in work life, I will put a switch on. Okay, you're in work life, mindfulness, you stay away for a moment. So mindfulness has to mind it to stay away. And then when I'm in my normal life or day-to-day life at home or in the society, probably I will be the king. I can do the way that I want. I don't have to, you know, be a burden. But work life, we have to be in a certain rules and professional ethics and all those things comes, and I have to actually act according to the institution's requirement.
Mm-hmm.
So two lives, that's how I'm thinking. So I would like to ask whether is that okay to think like that, and will it help me to go in this path? Do I have to do any adjustments, and how do I have to think about that thing?
Mm.
Thank you, Mante.
Yeah, so interesting. Now these are kind of situations that some of us may go through, and recently also one person talked to me something similar, and he said that he's working on a company where they prepare the what you call sausages, and he was doing his job properly. As a result of that, his the salaries are increased, and again he is performing well. And as a result of his contribution, the company is also doing well. And one day, the whole group was taken to the place where the whole manufacturing process were happening. Actually, this person is conducting marketing type of thing, and he's kind of a consultant. And as a result of his involvement, the company is getting more profits. And one day the company has decided to take this whole group to show the whole process, each part of the thing. And there they were shown how pigs were taken and how they were sort of killed and how separately the flesh being taken and how the whole sausage making processes happened. And when he saw that, he being fairly shocked. Now he was contributing to promote that whole process, and people are eating more and more pigs, more and more mutton, and so that is what he was promoting. And now internally, now kind of a conflict going on. He's a practitioner, and mindfulness is telling sort of you are not doing the correct thing, and the opposite is telling, okay, you have to do your job, you have to perform well, you need to understand the cravings, the attitudes, the internal sort of desires people are having, and you are utilizing those desires, you are promoting based on those desires. And if you understand yourself very well, and if you understand your desires very well, so you can immediately understand how others also think, others also behave, others also crave. As a result of that, you can properly do a kind of a promotion, improvement of your business. So that is where actually the inner conscience come into the picture. So that is again where Buddha talks about Samma Ajiva. So as you know, Buddha talks about Samma Ajiva. There are five kinds of trade that Buddha mentioned it is not suitable for a practitioner. So selling animals for killing or the flesh, and selling poisons, selling ammunition. So likewise, there are five types of trade that Buddha mentioned. Those are not good. So that is where internally we are developing something very wholesome and very profound, and at the same time very pure. At the same time, the conditions are there that we need to do something opposite. So now internal conflict happened. Internally now you are sort of agitated, because sometimes the mindfulness come forward and tell you, okay, don't do that, but your requirement, the social requirement or the business requirement, come and tell you, you need to do that. But therefore I can understand your decision previously you had to quit the job and finding a separate job, so that you are more satisfied, you are internally you feel that you are doing the correct thing, you are not harming your inner conscience. So these are the places actually we need to be sort of balanced. And again, I don't like to criticize the activity of the mindfulness. So the activity of the mindfulness is very much like monitoring us, very much like guarding us, very much like safeguarding us, guiding us in the proper path. So that is one important aspect of the mindfulness. Yeah, Buddha mentioned sati dovariko bhikkave ariya savako savajjam pajahati anavajjam bhaveti. So mindfulness is like a gatekeeper. So that gatekeeper knows whom to be allowed and whom to be abandoned, whom to be not allowed. So when internally mindfulness happens and tell us, okay, you don't do that, this is not good, this is not appropriate, this is harmful to you. So there we need to sort of have more surrendering attitude. Okay, why this inner conscience, inner mindfulness coming and tell me this? Because it has noticed what is happening internally. What's a kind of a burning happens internally? How you are going against the ethics? Now, company ethics may be different than the ethics of the karma. Company ethics may be telling you, okay, you need to perform this much, you need to provide us this much of profit, and you need to provide that margin, you need to meet that margin. So all these different regulations are there and we need to meet them. It's quite competitive. And so we are kind of lost in two worlds. So internally my inner ethical things are talking in different language. But here now the business requirement telling differently. So, very difficult situation. So, I can really understand why you have thought of quitting and finding a separate job, and you can think of that. I mean, still, if you feel kind of inner agitation, inner conflict happen of what you are doing, and when you are teaching, if the mindfulness come and block you, mindfulness come and tell you that what you are doing is not the correct thing, you better find a separate opportunity also. You don't need to give up. You don't need to think only the situation is that you are going for social service. There may be other jobs, other situations where you can sort of practice as well as you can do a service. And on the other hand, there's a separate situation that is where when we are developing insights, insight practice, there may be a kind of a transition period where the mindfulness basically lets go everything. So the practice lets go everything. So basically it is not merely mindfulness, but the whole process start letting go everything, even necessary things are let go of. Suppose you need to, as you have mentioned, you are remembering things to be taught, remembering things to be not, remembering things that you need to teach to the students, and even that is not being recorded in your mind, because mind doesn't want to keep anything. Mind likes to live alone, mind likes to live freely, mind likes to be secluded. It doesn't want to get bothered. So that kind of an attitude may happen. And it is actually, it is where you feel more lighter. You are not feeling burdened. Now say, if I want to teach to you, so if I am remembering all these things, okay, I have to teach this, I have to teach that, I have to teach this. So if I am packing my whole mind with all these set of things, then the mind being blocked, then the mind being burdened. But if it's true that I need to be prepared, but at the same time I am getting some quick guidelines while during the session, then quickly the whole thing, the whole process may start operating, and given the teaching, it may happen. It is not sort of a burden to me, rather kind of guidelines are there, but mind remains calm. So it's not a burden. So likewise, so we need to understand what are the ways and means without burden in the mind, without sort of stress in the mind. How am I going to deliver a lecture? So probably you can note down the necessary points like we do in a PowerPoint presentation. All the necessary important points are pointed out, and it's a matter of presenting them. It's a matter of explaining them one by one during the lecture, so that you don't need to recall, you don't need to remind or remember every explanation. Rather, if you note down the essential points, okay, it's a matter of elaborating them. So likewise, we need to find out ways and means without burden in the mind. Now that is where the new technology is quite useful. So we are there, I mean, we can allow that to happen through to the computer, to the laptop, to the presentation, and everything is there. So I'm just keeping my mind clear. I'm not burdened. I'm not taking anything to the mind, but I know the subject. I know things. This is the things happening. This, the theories are this, practice is this, result is this. So you are fully competent. And again, you are fully confident. But now mind remains calm. Mind has nothing basically. But during the session, during the lecture, you are taking the points out and you are explaining. So likewise, you need to find out your own solution for this to balance the whole process.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Actually, very, very fruitful explanation. I quite agree, actually, what you have said. Because I think I'm practicing as much as I can to be mindful. I actually quit my teaching job for a year, and then I decided, no, that's not the community service is not the one that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
In the rest of my life, and then I again switch back to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, actually, when we normally switch back like that, then we have to go through a process and show that we are competent enough. So
mm-hmm.
I had to, do a kind of a, like a present just do a mock teaching session.
Right.
So I actually didn't have much time to prepare for it. I was given a topic and then I had to teach. I actually got, I thought about it and I thought, oh, how I'm going to do this, because it's not students also, it's like group of similar capacity people, and my department head would be coming for the session, so knowledgeable people, everyone, not just like students. So anyway, I managed to, you know, like one day or whatever, I just jot down some things, and then I thought, okay, I'll just put myself in there. I wasn't prepared as such, the way I prepare for even to teach students, and I thought I will just put in there, nothing to lose. And I went and I actually did that session, and then they asked questions. When they ask questions, actually, I actually managed to answer every single question. After finishing that, I came out from that, and I was thinking and looking back at myself, and I felt like, oh, really? Actually, my mind was so calm and so quiet, and let me perform what I need to perform at that minute. So I think I was so mindful that I understand the question. I can remember some questions they asked was very long. Two, three sentences in the question and two, three questions in a question.
Now,
and
if
they asked the person, yeah. asked, do you need me to repeat the question? And I said, no, I can remember what you asked. And I actually methodically, first question, second question, third question, like that, I managed to answer.
Yeah.
I remember each word in the question.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I was so surprised about myself.
Yeah.
Before, when students are asking question, I always say, okay, I'll answer your first question. Let me go to the second question later. I tell that to students, but I didn't do it because that session was not the students. Then I realized, okay, this is magic. Mindfulness giving me opportunity to understand everything happening at that moment.
Correct, yeah.
And it records in my mind. And if I don't want to record, I can do that also.
Correct.
If I don't want to record something, I can just
switch off.
Let go. Then I will not remember it.
Correct.
And I actually, that session gave me a chance, okay, now it's time. You don't have to bother that mindfulness, you know, because of mindfulness, you can't do your job. Actually, I can do my job. Only thing, I have to only be at that moment. If I be at that moment, then don't think about, okay, this will disturb my path. This will disturb too. This is contradictory to what Buddha said. Now, if I keep on thinking like that, then I cannot perform my job. But if I stay in the moment, what the people are asking, because I have the knowledge, if I can relate my knowledge to answer that particular moment, the particular question, that saves my day. So then I thought, okay, I'm not going to prepare for sessions, I mean, like the way that I did before. I just go. I just go and teach what I know to the topic. And then if they ask questions, I just answer. I'm ready for it. So
yeah.
I actually got that lesson that day. And actually, that's how I do now.
I don't
prepare that much for my classes.
Yeah. No, actually, that is the more mature way.
As you said, I jot down notes. I'm going to talk about this, talk about that, talk about this. And when I'm standing and doing it, I get examples. I don't know where those examples coming. I get most of the stuff actually from, you know, your talks and but you know, the talks that I listen. I relate them because I can't teach religions in this country.
We can't
talk about the religion when we are teaching to the students.
Yeah.
So, but without labeling this is from this religion,
correct.
I can take the example and I can fabricate. Some kind of fabrication I do using different names
of
the companies.
But
same theory, I explain this is how you could do for a situation like that. So I can relate the things in a different way and tell them like a business example. So I feel like my creativity comes there too. But I exactly agree to you. So that's how I actually fix myself. Otherwise, my inner self was fighting. Oh, no, are you doing right thing? Are you doing right thing? Always fighting. Now that fight actually has come, I'm compressed, I think. So I need to eliminate that fight, doing the practice more and more. That's what I thought. Thank you, Bhante.
I think I can agree with you. Because if we are not matured, if we are not confident, then we have to prepare a lot. And sometimes we need to remember a lot. And we are doing several rehearsals. And but sometimes, since we are too prepared, ultimately during the session we get sort of panic, we get afraid, and we are shocked and we are disturbed. But on the other hand, if we are quite confident that we have done that several times, and if we know the subject very well, and then we, I mean, since we have that competency, then we can go and start doing it. Things may happen at that time. So your mind maintains that clarity, as you said, your mind is quite mindful and you are not disturbed, you are not afraid. As a result of that, things are beautifully happening. And you are putting yourself outside and you allow the process to sort of manifest. So I think that is the more mature way of doing it. And the thing is, for you to do that, you need certain amount of competence. You can't be a sort of the kind of a novice, but you need a fair amount of experience to do that.
Yeah, true. Competence
yeah.
is there because yeah. many 25 years.
Yeah, that's the thing.
25 years.
Yeah, that
in
I
the
think.
Same field,
yeah.
Probably that's
yeah.
there.
Correct.
But
correct.
The contradictory thing was, I was having the doubt whether my working like that will disturb my path. But what I realized was actually it's not.
No, the thing
we
is,
can't
now,
doing both correctly.
Yeah.
It's not. We can balance both. That's what I realized now.
Yeah. Again, in business also, there are business ethics. So there are the ethics are again come to the picture, and we can't completely do some unethical business as well. Probably you can think of in that line as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If we understand in the both sides and if we stay with the both sides, mind allowing me to actually balance both.
Yeah.
And for me to keep what I'm doing at the work in a separate part and what I'm doing here in a separate part, I can do that now. I can have the boundaries. It's not mixing. Earlier the two were mixing the other way, that side comes to here, this side goes to there. Now I can actually have the boundary. Now I'm here, I have to concentrate and do my practice now. And then this and follow the whatever the practice that we do during the meditation time as well as during the Dhamma, listening to Dhamma and discussion times.
Correct.
Mind doesn't run out. Otherwise, other times when some Bhante is talking about a particular topic, my mind quickly goes, oh, I was doing this at that place when I was working. I shouldn't do that. So like that, the whole proliferation thing goes on with the work. Now it's not. Even though it starts to go on, no, mind, come here now. You are listening to the Bhante. You have to follow what we are going on.
Right.
So like that, that ability has been, I think, little by little developing now. So.
Good.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, good.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi for the next question.
Thank you, Dengsa. Now, Bhante, you spoke about this five aggregates that's our aim at the end of the whole business with this sutta to clutter and to dismantle, right? That's what ultimately happens. So even in meditation, up to a point you can see all these things arising and passing away, so we can see the impermanency and also the body itself, though it's hard and all that, we now realize that it's not, and we can experience that. So my question is really, even in daily life, then we have to project that into everything that we encounter as much as possible. If we see somebody, should we be doing that? Dismantling the five aggregates, impermanency, and so
no,
we
think,
can't really experience
yeah,
it.
No, I think that would be a little tiresome to do like that. Probably what I think most practical is that you are during your practice session, you are very much like doing it. So to the very, very subtle level, you are operating and you allow that knowledge to happen, that insights to happen, so that strength of the insight, that understanding of the insight retains, start retaining in the mind, then you don't need to do a kind of a cumbersome disintegration type of thing, purposeful disintegration during the sort of other activities, other in the sense, say, daily activities. Rather, you are simply maintaining that insight. So the insight will take care that you are not grasping. But naturally, if naturally your mind is capable of disintegrating and seeing things are arising and passing away, something like that, it doesn't matter. Nothing to worry. But the purposeful kind of effortful type of disintegration or dissolution type of thing, I think it would be a little difficult. But on the other hand, another situation is that suppose due to lack of mindfulness, due to lack of understanding, say during a daily activity, suppose that you again get grasped, again you feel burdened. Then slowly the mindfulness comes to the picture and it will tell you, okay, now the fellow has gone and again it has grasped. Then you need to figure out how am I going to free the mind from this whole process. So there may be various ways of doing that. So the mindfulness will tell you when mind has grasped during the daily activities. Otherwise the practice will take care of maintaining kind of a balance in the mind.
But sometimes when you are just contemplating, like sometimes I do that, like if I see a nice bouquet of flowers, I just sort of look at it and in my mind I just sort of break it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cumbersome at that time, because we are bringing, it's beautiful, but it's made out of, you know, though we see it like that, it's all in particle forms or whatever you want to say, and it's impermanent. So then you prevent the grasping also up to a point, isn't it, Bhante?
Yeah, sure. So that's why, there are different ways available. So, if mind is capable of maintaining its clarity without getting involved, then you don't need to purposely do anything. But in case...
Okay.
In case if mind go and get involved and start talking about it, start thinking about it, and you feel that now again the old pattern has started, then you better intervene and stop that.
Okay. Because sometimes to prevent, there is some noise going on or whatever, I suppose we can break that up also at that stage, no, Bhante?
Mm-hmm.
Sound wave, that's only like sound waves and energy and it's not anything permanent like that. Is it worth doing those things? If it's going to agitate or...
Correct.
A
little reminder of the reality may prevent you from going further grasping.
Thank you,
Bhante. Okay, welcome. So I think there are no further questions. If so, then we can wind up the session. Shall we, Jennifer?
I believe so, Bhante. We're good here.
Okay, good. So today also we have spent a little more than 1 hour and we were able to discuss something related to several suttas. And whatever the merits that we have accumulated, let's share these merits with all the celestial beings and all the past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And again, let's wish these merits help us also to understand Buddha's teaching and to attain path, fruition, Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ittavata chamhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ittavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya ittavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya akasatta cha bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam ආකාසට්ටා චුම්මට්ටා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනම් ආකාසට්ටා චුම්මට්ටා දේවා නාග මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය හිමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු